Futsal community, welcome to Futsal in Australia podcast number 16. Today we're going to have Peter Python, CEO of Futsal and Series Futsal for his second time. Peter, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for inviting me, Andre.
Cheers. No, it's good to have you. The reason why Peter is here, because we have so much talk about this new Series Futsal that's happening right now. But just before we get there, on the weekend we had the AFCC National Title, Australian Futsal Club Championship Tournament. Fitzroy ended up winning my club. We had a good tournament, but the tournament went very, very well. There were lots of good clubs. The level in Australia is really raising up. It is a good momentum for futsal in Australia. How do you see futsal in Australia right now, Peter?
I think it is getting higher and higher. There is a lot more interest from players, managers, coaches, as opposed to close to 17 years ago when I started. No one even knew what the word futsal was. So there is definitely momentum. Of course, what hasn't changed at all is that the sport is polarized from one end to another. Obviously, there is a camp that believe that FIFA is the way to go. You know, the football should run futsal, and then there's the other camp that thinks that futsal should be standalone. I believe that both have got room to work, but there's got to be some sort of consensus. In other words, if we look at other sports like boxing, they still survive while UFC have thrived. So I don't think that, we've got to look at it as one versus the other. But the good reality, the truth of the matter is there is some competition now. There is good players coming up. There are players taking it serious. And as we'll probably most likely discuss, there are great avenues for clubs to prosper, players to make a career out of it. And I think, honestly, I actually think that it hasn't really changed a lot as far as the administration side of things go in the last, 16, 17 years, as far as the FIFA sort of side of things go in Australia. But I think in the private sector, it's gone from zero to a million, and I think that's where the future holds, is in the private sector. In futsal being a standalone competition, and not having to be represented by football. Although they can work together, I just don't see how that could prosper side by side.
Understand. But what makes me excited is that there's lots happening this year for futsal in Australia in general. So we see that we had this tournament. Futsal rules have been announced to coming back. We've got the state titles in April as well. But at the same time that we had the tournament over the weekend, Series Futsal announced that it was going back to Thomastown with a new stadium. I wasn't able to go there, but you were on the podcast last year. You say that you were renovating this stadium, making a Series Futsal stadium. Now, what's the process like, and where are you guys at the moment?
Yeah, so obviously everyone knows that's involved in futsal that COVID stopped us in our tracks. March 20th or 17th of March in 2020. So for, 24 months, the Thomastown Series Futsal Stadium has been closed. And, obviously, as a company, we had to look at it as, how do we consolidate everything? How do we keep going? How long is this going to take? So for us, we had to make the company a lot smaller. And obviously, there's two main components. It's the futsal side, which is the franchise side, the two-court franchise model. We sort of separated the stadium and then said, okay, what we'll do is we'll build a purpose-built Series Futsal stadium. And I wouldn't even call it a stadium. I'd call it more a theatre, a studio. It's been built for TV. It's been built for people to come in and watch a show. So for us, we believe that... it's designed for the fans. It was 12 months after the first 12 months, we didn't do much here. So in the last 12 months that passed, we completely renovated the whole place. The place is absolutely amazing. Stage one sees the court out there. It's got the basic stands. It's been closed off, and it's absolutely, when you walk in, it's absolutely amazing. The stage is set now for the big players, the players to come, the junior players to fit into these big roles now. So we launched it on Friday. I didn't even know the competition was on until I got a call from the two managers from Moreland and Fitzroy saying, oh, we've got other games on Friday. And I said, mate, we've scheduled it. The new arena is going to be open. They're the time slots. There's no negotiation. We're playing in those times. And for whatever reason, they had fixture times before that, which worked out. So it was never intended to stifle any competition. We didn't even know that competition was going ahead. So, it was good for Melbourne and Victoria from nothing for 2 years. And all of a sudden now there's competitions everywhere. People had a feast of futsal over the weekend. So that's how that panned out.
No, I understand. And for people that can see, obviously people can see on the WeFroth app, on the Futsal's app, they can watch the games.
Yep.
But what makes the stadium unique? I know the Futsal's likes the blue courts. Like you set the blue court in Brunswick when you had them on Evelyn, then now in Thomastown. But it looks different now. What's different about Sirius Futsal, the court?
The court size is exactly the same size as the Thomastown court was here before.
What would be their size?
The size is roughly about 31 meters by 17 meters. Mm-hmm. And when I say roughly, it's not exactly that because it's symmetric within the stadium. So they're the rough figures, and it's enclosed. So you've got to pay to come in. It's no more freebies, unfortunately. So the clubs have now got an opportunity to make revenue. So every supporter that comes in for the club, they make half the amount. So for example, and that goes through from the top league all the way to...
Sorry. So when you say half of the amount, so how much is the ticket at the moment?
The ticket at the moment is $6. So
and the club makes $3.
The club makes $3. So if you bring 100 supporters, obviously three times 100, $300. So it's not a great amount of money to start off with, but it gets the ball rolling. Pays for your game fees and your training.
But the ticket's still cheap at the moment. But once it goes to 10, 15, the clubs will make half. They'll be covering the match fees and even still be able to pay some players one day.
Correct. And that's the whole aim of it. And the competition is built to bring the top players, to bring the big names here. Like, we, before COVID, we had Sian Garnier, we had Pula. We also had Neto lined up. But unfortunately, Neto had some medical process he had to undergo, which he couldn't come to Australia. Mm-hmm. So we're going to pick that up again. We know we've got some great players in Australia.
So hold on, my brain starts already thinking, Peter. When Sian Garnier came, he put about, let's say, 1,000 people in that stadium on that day. I can't even remember how many. Maybe let's say 500. I'm exaggerating. How many people could...
700 people in the stadium at that time.
At that time, yeah. Now it's a bit bigger, right?
Yeah.
So 700 times 20...
Yep.
The club would make some good money. And so it's worth for the club to be these big names, isn't it?
Of course. Because like if you just say you had 1,000 people at $6 each, 1,000, that's $6,000. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Now, if you can bring 1,000 supporters, that's huge money. So we start at this stadium. Now, if they get sold out, then we look at, increasing capacity, maybe even using some of the courts that we've got here, the purpose-built stadiums, and we can bump out. But that's down the track. Initially, what we're trying to do is make the clubs financially efficient. As you know, there is a lot of rumours going around clubs and players getting paid some crazy amount of money. Now, I can't confirm any of that money because I'm not entitled to see those contracts. But from what we hear, there is contracts out there. There are clubs that have got players that are contracted, are paying them some good money. And, these clubs need support.
I'm not confirmed, but a friend of mine would confirm that for sure.
Yeah, look, I hear a lot of things, but as, the chief commissioner of the competition, I don't know that for a fact, so I really can't say. But I do hear a lot of money getting changed around. I hear of money getting changed around and players, all of a sudden transfer window, moving from a great club to another club. So obviously there is something that's luring them.
All right, so one of the things that people already talk, a lot of people talk about Sirius Futsal, that it's actually not futsal because you're not playing on a 40 by 20.
No, they're right. They're right, it's not futsal. It's
Sirius. Well, one sec. It's not futsal. They don't play on a 40 by 20. The side balls are throw-ins or kick-ins. There is no draws. So if it's a draw, it's a penalty, 10 meters penalty shootout.
And now, Andre, we've got a technical foul too.
So technical foul, four.
If the bench give it to the referee too hard, go straight to the 10-meter mark penalty.
So we people can't whinge anymore from the bench.
Well, they can whinge, but they can't abuse. You know, if it gets abusive and managers lose it or players lose it off the bench, the referee has got the ability to give a warning and then go straight to the far meter, the far penalty.
10 meters.
For the direct shot.
Which is great because the referees get so much abuse, they need some support as well. That's something that FIFA should take on board and learn from serious futsal. But anyway, Peter, why is that you like playing at 30 by 20, 30 by 31 by 18, and you like these different rules, and you don't like playing the real futsal?
Well, if whoever's been around futsal for a very long time, and I know a lot of people that talk a lot of smack here, don't know what they're talking about, but futsal was never played on 40 by 20. From 1930 to 1991, it was played on these size courts, on basketball courts, and they'd be bigger. Just have to go back to the Futsal World Cups and have a look at the size courts. They're exactly the same courts as we have. I haven't done it. I haven't changed much. I've changed some rules. I think FIFA's changed it. And that was really mainly to knock out the YMCAs who had two courts or one court. They wanted to spread over three courts. Mm-hmm. So it's very political from a football company that don't give two rats' asses about futsal. But, man, and that's why futsal is around, because it started 16 years ago for the very same reason. And I can't believe people still argue about the same things that, you know, futsal worked out 16 years ago.
What's the reason why you chose to go back to the smaller court and play these different rules?
I never went back to a small court. I started with small courts and I never changed because growing up, I could only remember these size courts. You know, even with the James Hardy competition, they were played on similar size courts as these. So I never knew, you know, if you look at the World Cup that was here and the club competition that was here, the Australia played Italy, and it's well documented on YouTube. Have a look at what size courts they are. They're exactly the same as serious futsal courts. So I didn't change anything. FIFA changed it. So people shouldn't be upset with futsal. We just rebranded it to serious futsal. And the reason why we did rebrand serious futsal and why we've taken stances, we've spent millions of dollars, millions and millions of dollars over the last 16 years. Now, we've designed a brand. Now, we've got the biggest skin in the game. We can't just hand it over to someone that doesn't care. So for us, it's not about helping the sport anymore. In fact, the sport's, you know, quite healthy in some respects as far as players and people's involvement. Mm-hmm. We're more interested in securing our brand now because, you know, we're out in sea and no one, you know, when COVID kicked around 24 months ago, I didn't see the Federation or anyone put their hand in the pocket to come and help us. I didn't see all these cats in New South Wales, these big knobs who think they, you know, run foot. So I didn't see any help from them. So why should we help, what I think is the cure to insomnia, these 40 by 20 courts? You know, like, honestly, when I have trouble sleeping, I put a big court game on and, mate, I'm knocked out within 30 seconds, I'm sleeping. That's how boring it is. So why should we be helping these outdoor organisations to improve what they call futsal when we put so much money, so much effort? We've got the best teams, as you know, Andre, you play for Fitzroy, Victoria, you know. We've seen Vic Vipers in the past. We've seen Inner City in the past. We've seen the Victorian teams go out there, but yet there's no acknowledgement from any players. There's no from any coaches or anyone. No acknowledgement about the players. So they're stuck in a system that they believe works. Now, I'm happy about that. I don't have no problem about that. But, you know, we're going to run our own show. We're going to keep on going with serious futsal. We believe that the best players will come here and play. In fact, if I'm allowed to say, we've got some big name players lined up to come and play in serious futsal.
All right, we'll get to that point in a little second. Just before that, it's getting very interesting. It's getting very controversial as well. So I just want to make sure that I'm very neutral. I'm going to be helping everyone in Australia. I'm not on anyone's side, but I'm going to help everyone to grow. Peter, going forward, what's the goal of serious futsal? Like you say that you want to attract the big players, you want to... If you can give us where you want to...
The easiest answer for anyone that's watching this is that, you know, it's the same problem that the UFC had with boxing. You know, the UFC was seen as a barbaric sport. No one wanted to play. The states wouldn't allow them to play it. It wasn't proper. You know, it wasn't a ring, even though a ring's round. It was just, you know, boxing played in square. So Octagon, all this rubbish and stuff like that. And then the UFC is pretty much just taken over. Of course, there is, payment issues with players, with fighters and that, but the point I'm trying to make is that we're a brand now. Serious Futsal is here to stay, and Serious Futsal is going to take over. And at the end of the day, it is a UFC type setup where basically we are going to attract whatever, the best players we can to the sport, put them on show, and beam it out to the world. And there's a couple of good things happening as far as free-to-air TV goes and stuff like that. So, we won't say too much, but yeah, there's a lot of things on the pipe whips.
So it could be on TV sometime soon.
Yeah.
Just that way. You want the best players to play. Why should the best players come play in this Serious Futsal?
Because they'll get paid big money to play here. And the money's going to come in, and the money's it's set up as a theatre, set up for a show. We're looking for showmen. We're looking for people that are going to bring in the crowds. And we're looking for look, what's here in this theatre, this show, it's not, there's not nothing like that in Australia. There's nothing like this in the world for futsal. And again, it's not just futsal. This is Serious Futsal. Mm-hmm. And I'm not trying to come across like, it's the only brand in the world. All I'm saying is that we have to explain to people that we're not interested at the moment. I was interested. Now I'm completely not. I'm not interested in helping, the 40 by 20s or futsal grow. That's someone else's problem. That problem we tried to get involved a long time ago. What we're interested right now is to showcase, to have, your kids play in this top competition, to keep players from playing outdoor, to keep players, and that's true. We don't want players to play basketball or netball or, cricket or even outdoor. Honestly, we want them to play serious futsal. And that's our role to do. We want people to come in. We want to make sure that there's, an industry that's been created that's going to have player managers, it's going to have player agents, it's going to have, coaches, the whole involvement, the referee side of things. And, we're really well backed by a quality team. And, Andrew, you were part of the team before COVID, and you know that, we wear our heart on our sleeve when we lost a lot of key staff at that time. But the people that have remained and the new people that we've put on, they're very committed and they love it. And we really couldn't do it without them. So I'm very fortunate and very lucky that we've got a lot of passionate people that love the sport.
When you talk about all these dreams, Peter, sorry to cut you. It might sound like it's many years away. How far away are you from achieving all these new big names coming in and player agents? Because people could make money bringing big players into the league as well.
Correct.
So how far away is that?
I think within the next 12 months, you'll see a lot of this. And it could be in the next 2-3 months. It could be in the next 6 months. Now, time frame's a little bit hard because we're also dealing with COVID, which means that players aren't easy to bring over as it used to be. So we can't just get on the phone and have them on the next plane, or have them here next week. So there's a process now to follow. So there's a lot of more red tape than it used to be. But we really, I really want to put out a call to the players in Australia. We've got some bloody quality players in Australia. They don't know it because they get told by the coaches that they're not good enough. Because there's some dud coaches out there that think they're grouse. They tell them that all the players overseas are better. It's like what Victorians used to say. Oh, New South Wales are better than us. And, clearly it's proven that the Victorians are, just as good, if not better, than any other state. And the thing is, they still get told by people that believe in these narratives that there is someone better than them. And we don't fall for that. We keep going, and we believe that we've got some top players in Australia and we'd love to see them in this competition. And we'll work with the clubs, without a shadow of a doubt, to financially back them to be able to bring some of these top players from Queensland. I think Queensland's an unbelievable market. New South Wales got, at least 12 players that we think that could play in the competition. Queensland's got quite a big amount of players too. And we think that, these players belong in serious futsal.
The quality in Australia at the moment, I know you say that the 40 by 20, but on the weekend we saw some amazing players as well. Like I'll just mention a couple of names that stood out a lot. Jordan Guerrero is a showman. Ethan Di Mello, the young boy from New South Wales.
Yeah.
The boy Yeah, they both came to play in the Series Futsal 2 years ago against Pascoville.
They belong in Series Futsal. You saw Guerrero broke your heart, Andre, when he scored that goal when he was playing.
Yeah, Guerrero, Ethan Gimelo, Yangi Giovanelli as well. You know,
these players should be showcased in the theater here.
Wade Giovanelli.
Yeah.
But for the people that want to get involved, because obviously there's a lot of frustrated people in Australia that have been waiting for an opportunity for something to happen.
Yeah.
What can they get involved with leaving all the states, or what's going to happen?
Definitely. I think right now we're talking to the clubs are trying to get their heads around what we're doing here too. Now the clubs now have got an opportunity. They bring in supporters. Like we saw on Friday, we had over 200 paid supporters for a couple of clubs, right? So you're talking about decent money off the bat first round. Now, once the clubs get their heads around their marketing campaign, getting people in the door, remember, everyone's got two eyes, right? So the more people and the more eyes you get onto this, the sponsors start pricking their ears up. Sponsors don't want to know you if you haven't got eyes or bums on seat. And you can say, look, it's a donation. Most sponsors give you a donation. But if you've got bums on seats, you get the sponsors that actually want to get some traction, to get some exposure. So we're working with the clubs to be able to understand that they now can be, they can turn over a profit, pay players, bring players, add to their club's, prestige. And I think the clubs are coming around. I think the funny thing is, when we're talking about this, people should understand, it's not only the top clubs that are getting gate takings, it's the whole elite structure, which is, the First Division Series Futsal, Second Division Championship, League One, which is the third division, and League Four, which is League Two, of course, that's the names we use here. And also the women's division.
The women as well.
The women get the clubs, obviously a lot of the clubs have got men and women, so they get the gate takings as well. And when we're talking about the Series Futsal Arena, there's still the youth leagues to establish, the under 16s, the under 14s, under 12s. They'll all have gate takings. Now, of course, it will vary in price. Now, the club now who's got men, women, juniors, they all of a sudden have got, a supporter base. They will be not only covering their match fees, they will also have some change. So what we're trying to do with the clubs is grow with the clubs, establish them as proper businesses, because that's what we are. We are a business. And so is the UFC, so is the AFL, so is the English Premier League. They're all businesses, and people don't understand business. And I didn't either, to be honest, when I first started. I thought everyone was an association, not for profit. That's all bullshit. It's not. These people make fucking money. Sorry for this one. So I'm a bit excited, Andre, to talk to you, because I just finished, in the stadium. We're doing some repairs, and it's late at night. It's not too late. And, I'm very excited for the future. I think it's crazy what's happening. I think we're at the cusp of breaking through the eye of the needle. And people can't see it, and that's okay. And that's why I'm here talking to you. So hopefully they can see what I'm talking about.
All right, Peter. So it's even hard for me to get my head around it. And I worked with you for 10 years, but you just finished process the stage one. What's stage two again? Just going next, and just a little bit of the future. Lastly, to finish, to wrap it up the podcast.
All right, mate. I think I've said way too much. Oh shit. I said way too much, and I've sworn a bit, so I'm a bit excited, and I'm very, very excited. I need some sleep. That's the other part, because I've been working like 10 horses. But I think the next stage, well, I'll tell you the next stage. Stage one was the court, the surrounding, and closing up the gates so we can get game fees.
So that's been done.
Entry fees.
Yeah.
There's a ticket. You buy a ticket at the door, or soon it'll be on WeFrog. And that was the first stage. Get people used to understanding you're not watching any of these elite leagues for free. It's time now to support the clubs, right? So that was the first stage. When you come here, you'll see there's a process. There's, there's the door entry. Soon there'll be turnstiles. They're coming. So it's a proper setup. Proper, when you come here, it's fair and proper setup. The second stage is the whole player quarters, where all the dressing rooms, the referee quarters, the media rooms, they're getting built slowly, slowly. Mm-hmm. When you come here, you'll see the area allocated. You can change in that area now. But you'll see it's a huge amount of area. It's actually almost half of the old court. So do you remember the old court at Thomastown?
Yeah.
where Guerrero scored that goal against you and you lost
that coin on the left side. Yeah. I remember very well.
Yeah, you remember that?
So, and Jordan jumping on top of all the supporters coming on the court.
Yeah. So that half of the ground is almost the whole change room warm-up area. So you have your change rooms, and there's four change rooms for the teams. Obviously, two come in, two go out. You'll have the two referees and sort of like a meeting area for the referees where they can discuss things. And you'll have the media room where you come in and out post-match and pre-match interviews. It's all designed to go to TV for a production. And if whoever doesn't know, we did have a production on Channel 31 many years ago, which we used to put a massive effort to produce. Andre, you obviously were on it. You remember it?
Mm-hmm.
That's the type of production, but we're talking about a much modern, more production that's got 12 cameras on court. It's like a big brother. This is a whole complete theater setup. It's a massive stage. It's very exciting. And stage two will probably be completed, I think, in about 5 or 6 weeks from now. Mm-hmm. So that's stage two. And then stage three, you want to hear stage three?
Is there another stage after that? Okay.
Yeah, there's a stage. The stage three will be then the upstairs, which will oversee the back end of the goal there with on top of the dressing rooms,
mm-hmm.
which will have the commentary box. We'll have two large corporate boxes, which can be split into four for smaller groups. And in the back will be two, like I'm in the studio right now here at Futsal Oz, Thomastown. This studio is going to be relocated to that area. So this, whoever's been here knows this is on the other side. So there's going to be two massive studios like this, fully decked out for external use too. We have external users of this studio now. We have some education departments that use this studio, and there's going to be more of that. So that's going to have... Well, like I said, the corporate boxes, the commentary box, the two studios, and then you'll have a sort of like a conference area. That will be upstairs, obviously, amenities, toilets and stuff like that. So the sponsors will then be able to come into the corporate boxes, come and watch the games, have their little party pies and stuff like that, and, a couple of beers, whatever they like, glass of wine, and really enjoy the entertainment. And especially the big players coming down will really excite them. So, yeah.
Yeah, it is very exciting. And as you said, futsal and serious foot is setting the benchmark really high for everyone else when it comes to a futsal arena. And that's just not for futsal in Australia. So the whole Australian community is very proud of having futsal in Australia just because it's something unique. It's something different. It's as you said, it's not futsal, it's serious futsal. So, Peter... I think that's a wrap. I think that's for now. That's all you can share. Or is there anything else that you want to share?
Not really, Andre. What I want to say is, there's a lot of talk, this and that. I definitely don't have a problem with other organizations. I think that the more futsal, the better. I want to clear that up. I just want people to understand that, I'm not doing this to go against anyone. I just think this is the right way for futsal. And if people think otherwise, put the hand in the pocket, and spend the money and do it. Because if you're not putting the hand in the pocket and you're just talking a good game for 20 years, you're wasting your time. So that's all I want to say. And I think, appreciate it. I hope I haven't put you in an awkward position here, Andre.
I am in a very good position. I'm just enjoying everyone's side. I'm enjoying the game. That's what I'm doing at the moment.
And you know what? If you're going to talk it, you've got to walk it. So you know what? I've said a lot here. It's on record. And most things that I say publicly are on record. And, let's see if I follow through. That's the big if, isn't it? Am I going to do it?
Yeah, that's the big thing. It is recording. It's going to, everyone is listening to us. Peter, again, I want to thank you so much for coming for your second time on the show. Congratulations on the stadium. But I look forward to the next steps, stage 2, 3, 4. And I look forward to these big names from Australia and from around the world coming to the country. Because just before, I made a call to Pula, I made a call to Neto, and it looks like they're coming the next few months.
Andre, thank you very much. You've been fantastic too. And honestly, we're getting people messaging us because it's like people talking to people. So it's going to get to a stage where I think we're going to say, hang on, we can only have a couple of players to start off with, but it's very exciting.
Very, very exciting. Peter, thank you again. Wish you all the best, and I'll definitely see you every week on Friday nights because I live in Melbourne.
Shame you, man. I'm going to go get some sleep, mate. I'm exhausted. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye, mate.